Selling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's time for Talking with TD.
Touchdown, Tennessee!
The latest on the Two-Tone Blue with ESPN's Teron Davenport.
Put up a shut-up term.
This is Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Here we go. You are now talking with TD. Folks, it's almost football Christmas time. We are about to find out who your Tennessee Titans will be adding to their team this year. This week's show is chock full of prospects, so I'm not going to get into much on the intro. Just going to let you know this. We got what you need. We have DB Antoine Winfield Jr. from Minnesota. We have outside linebacker Terrell Lewis from Alabama. We have running back Patrick Taylor Jr. from Memphis. And we got the guy I call Straps, Christian Fulton out of LSU. This is a stacked show. Without further ado, we're going to get right into it. Check it out.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Byard, and I'm talking with TD.
Okay, here we go, talking with TD. I play this song specifically because this is something I know if I was in an interview room and I was my next guest, this is exactly what I would tell the personnel folks I meet with. How do you want it? Because I could do it all. We're bringing in Minnesota defensive back Antoine Winfield Jr. Antoine, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing really well. I appreciate you coming on, and I emphasize the junior because you are the second coming. Your father obviously was an outstanding football player, and in my opinion, he's the epitome of size is not a skill because he played beyond his size. So you growing up watching him, what were some of the things that you were able to learn from him and just be able to adapt to your life and even to your game on the football field?
Yeah, just watching my dad play. You know, he's not the biggest guy, but I always feel like he has the most heart. You know, he would go out there and give it all that he had, and he put so much work into what he did. It was just crazy to see all that work pay off. You know, it's rare that you have cornerbacks playing in the league for 14 years. That's pretty much unheard of. So just seeing him and how he was able to do that was just really inspirational.
And you got to watch film with him at a young age. You got to do some things that your average kid growing up playing football didn't get to do. So can you kind of get into some of the things that he had you doing and some of the things you picked up from him and watching film with him?
Yeah, at an early age, he put a ball in my hand. So I was always playing football. And when he would be in the backyard doing footwork drills, you know, like cone drills, doing drills on a ladder, I would be right back there with him. So he started me off really young. And as far as watching film, I remember when he would watch film on his little DVD player, and I'd go up there, sit next to him, and watch him dissect his film on whoever he was playing that week. So it was just really cool just to be able to experience that at a young age.
Have you seen similarities between you obviously play different positions, but have you seen similarities between your game and his?
Yeah, I would say one similarity that I usually see is just how we both tackle. I would say tackling something that we look almost identical with, which is crazy.
Yeah, and the thing is, you look at your game, right, and you're getting this late push into a first-round prospect, which is great because I've always admired your game, and to see that is cool. And here's the thing. There's never been a father-son duo at defensive back selected in the first round. So that's kind of how we'll put a ball around the conversation about you and your father. I want to get into you as a prospect. And if you go back to your first game, right, you're in the tunnel, about to go out onto the field at Penn State, and your DC turned to you, and he said you were born for this. What what goes through your mind when he says that, and how much did that just kind of help just deflate everything and make it just football, make you understand that it was just that?
Yeah, it just kind of calmed my nerves once he said that. You know, I remember I was super excited at the moment, you know. The butterflies in the stomach, you know, the blood's pumping. So I was just ready to go out there and play. But it just kind of cooled me down when he said that I was born for this. And, you know, that's just when I got into the mode that I got to go out here and, you know, do my job and dominate my opponent.
Now, the opening music, as I said, was How Do You Want It? And that's something, again, that you could tell coordinators or whoever. I mean, I personally, if I was a coordinator, I would love to have you as a player because I could put you in nickel and blitz you. I could have you cover slot defenders. I could have you drop. But whatever I want to happen and to have you support in the run. So my question to you is the versatility aspect. Why is that such a calling card for you?
Yeah, it's such a calling card because that's what teams need. You know, I feel like I'm a versatile player. I can pretty much play any position on the back end of the defense. Like you said before, I can blitz. I can play in the box. I can play in the post. I can do all these things. And that's what you look for in players. Can they cover slots? Can they cover tight ends? The more you can do, the better you're off, and more likely a team will want you. So that's just why I'm trying to make versatility one of my main assets.
And you mentioned being able to blitz, and this is a Titans show. Logan Ryan is probably moving on, but they used to send him on the blitz all the time. He had 4.5 sacks last year. So I want to ask you just as far as that being able to time the snap and being able to not make it obvious that you're coming, what goes into doing that?
Yeah, I would say film study, seeing how the quarterback does his cadence, being able to, you know, get that jump on the ball instead of, you know, being late or being too early to where a quarterback can call it out and, you know, shift the offense to pick up the blitz. So I would say a lot of film study goes into that and doing it in practice.
And in watching you play, you have a lot of passion. And I always love players that play with energy and play with emotion. And that's something that you do. Obviously, you know, we all go through things. You know, we all face adversity. You face some adversity. So how did that kind of early in your career facing that, how did that put you to this point now where it's like, hey, man, I'm always cheesing and I just love football and just having the opportunity to play?
Right, yeah. You know, it's always cliche when, you know, when you have something taken away from you, you don't know what it's like until it's gone.
Yeah.
So, you know, just going through adversity in college, it just taught me just to appreciate the game more. You know, take every moment and enjoy it like it's the last moment because you really honestly never know when it's going to be the last moment. So, I mean, I feel like just my appreciation for the game and just being able to play has just grown so much that, and that's kind of how I shaped the player that I am today.
And one of the things, it's interesting to me because I know you have said before, even it was at the Combine, I believe, you had said that a lot of your game is reflected in the NFL by Tyrann Mathieu, the Honey Badger. And you know what's crazy? He went through adversity also, and he overcame it, and here you are doing the same thing. But I want you to tell my listeners, what is it that's similar about your game and his game?
Yeah, what I like about Tyrann Mathieu's game is just how he's just a dog, man. Yeah. Like, you know, he's not the biggest dude out there. We're kind of similar in size, I would say. But he goes out there and gets his job done. He's always around the ball. Always making plays, and he's using that versatile role where you see him blitzing. He's playing the post, playing on tight ends, playing on slot receivers and all these things. So that's what I try to emulate my game like.
And it shows. And it's crazy because I saw on his Twitter, he had said he predicted. Now, you're 21 now. He said before you're 30 years old, you're going to be a two-time Pro Bowler. So the respect is there. I really thought that was cool. One of the other things that Mathieu did was return punts. And obviously, That's a bonus that you bring to the table. 76-yard return. The first punt you fielded, 76-yard return against New Mexico State. What makes you such a good punt returner?
I believe my mindset. You know, every time I get the ball in my hands, the only thing I'm focusing on is scoring. And I remember specifically my first punt return, I'm just like, let me catch this and get just a little bit of space, and I'm taking it to the house. So I feel like my mindset behind, you know, returning every time I get the ball in my hands, my goal is to score. I feel like that's what makes me a good returner.
And a couple of those opportunities for people to tackle, like a couple times there wasn't any space. You had to create it because you ran through about three or four tackles on that one. So that was a really good return. I want to go to 2018 also because – it's the fourth quarter. It's 21-14. It's just, I think it was a little over a minute left. And they ran it first and goal. They ran what looked like a running play. You did what you normally do, stormed down into the rushing alley, but you saw that it was a pass. And so you reverse back, yep. And you picked it off. Can you take me through that play?
Yeah, I just remember knowing the situation. You know, it was first and goal. We're up 21-14, and it's like a minute left. And I remember coming up the sideline, like, we got to make a play right here to win this game. And so once I got the play, they did like a halfback toss pass.
Yeah.
And so as I was coming down, I kind of peeked and saw the tight end didn't block anybody. So that's when I knew that the ball was going there. And so I kind of speed turned. I saw the flight of the ball. My first initial reaction was just to knock it down. But then I had, like, palmed the ball so perfectly when I went up, I ended up catching it. And then I was just trying to get my foot down and bounce. And I honestly didn't think I got it in. And then I watched the review on the big screen, and I saw that I got my foot in. And I was like, man, I just made a great play.
Well, you did a good job of acting like you knew, because it definitely didn't seem like you were unsure about that. But that was a great play. And that's what I'm saying. That's an example of instincts. That's an example of ball skills. I think that play really epitomizes what you bring to the table. But when you fast forward to the combine, obviously everyone that goes to the combine, you're being critiqued. I guess you had to put the leather vest on, right, so you could be ready to deflect all the criticism or even, you know, extra analysis, huh?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, it's nothing personal. You know, they're all out there trying to get the best players possible, and so the only thing you could really do is just go through the process, answer any questions that the scouts and coaches have and things like that. So, you know, you can't take anything personal because it's all business at the end of the day.
I know you say you can't take anything personal, but there were a lot of questions about your speed. And you specifically said at the combine that you wanted to prove them wrong. Was that something that, you know, I mean, did you take that part personal or just make it like a goal? I got to make sure these people understand that I'm a complete prospect.
Yeah, it definitely gave me a chip on my shoulder throughout the training for the combine. You know, my goal was to run a 4.3. Unfortunately, I didn't do that. I still ran a pretty decent time. But, yeah, there was always that chip on my shoulder that I need to, you know, prove these people wrong that I do have some speed.
And in this state of the NFL now, it's almost like they want players that are positionless. And I feel like you fit that mold. You look at your first start, if I'm not mistaken, was as a nickelback. So I want to ask you, yep. If you were to come into a situation where a team needed – specifically a guy that could play that nickel spot, how can you kind of make yourself valuable from that perspective?
Yeah, you know, I would just go in and whatever job is given to me, and that's my task. You know, I plan to do that with 100% of everything that I have. So it doesn't matter which role that they ask me to be. I know that I'm going to, you know, do it to my best ability. So I feel like I can play at any position.
And the Titans are a team, before I get you out of here, the Titans are a team that obviously they need somebody that can do that. Have you spoken to them at all throughout this process?
Yes, I have.
Nice. Okay. And I would assume the conversation went well. What did they say they liked about you?
Just my versatility.
Yeah.
Being able to play pretty much anywhere on the field. You know, I feel like that's my biggest aspect, and that's what a lot of teams are looking for now in their DBs. So the versatility.
Well, you grew up a Vikings fan. They do play the Vikings this year, so we'll see what happens. Maybe you do come off the board at 29. I think you'll probably go a little bit earlier, but nevertheless, I wish you the best. Thanks for coming on. Definitely hope everything continues to go well for you and keep plugging away, man. You're an outstanding prospect.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Take care.
This is Derrick Henry. You're now talking with TD. I came to bring the pain hardcore
from the brain. Yeah, it's Wednesday, so you know Woo Wednesdays. We got to have at least one Wu-Tang song on the show. I tell you what, Method Man, he talks about bringing the pain. Our next guest, he brings the pain as well when he's running the rock. Memphis running back Patrick Taylor Jr. Patrick, what's going on, man?
What's going on? Thank you for having me.
No problem. I appreciate you coming on. And I wanted to get you on because, again, you are one of the prospects that's kind of slept upon, but I definitely think when it comes to versatility, there's a lot that you bring to the table. Also, you seem to have a nose for the football, 36 touchdowns in 45 games. What is it about you that makes you such a productive player? I mean, you're scoring touchdowns every 13 or so times you're touching the rock.
Yeah, I mean, I'm I'm very confident in my ability and my talent with making plays on the field. And Coach Norvell, the play caller for our team, he made it sure and known that he was going to get his playmakers the ball. And I feel like I can do a number of things with the ball in my hand, being able to catch the ball out of the backfield and line up in the slot and catch the ball out of the backfield and run inside and outside the tackle. So I feel like those are the things that helped me get in the end zone those 36 times.
Right, and it's basically it comes down to this, the more you could do. And it's I don't know what's going on in Memphis, but you guys keep somebody, at least one or two guys on the team that can line up in the slot and run routes as a receiver and also carry the rock too. I mean, you look at Antonio Gibson – you know, obviously he's someone that does that too. What is going on down there? What's making all you guys end up playing for this type of program?
Man, it's just the playmakers that come out of it. You know, they find a way to get their playmakers the ball and in every way possible with the past years with Daryl Henderson, Tony Pollard, yeah. Me. Antonio Gibson and Kenny Gainwell that's up and coming. So they just find a way to get their playmakers the ball.
Yeah, and you mentioned Henderson, and you look at 2018, because I think that's where you have good film from last year, but I think 2018 is where the bulk of your good film is. The 1-2 punch with Daryl Henderson was really an outstanding duo, and as you mentioned, Pollard too. Was it tough being in that situation and not pressing too much whenever you got a chance to get the ball?
Absolutely not. I didn't think of it that way at all. At a sense, I felt it was easier having 1-2 punch like me and Daryl and Tony being able to make plays as we did. And we all like to see each other do great. And we knew it was our time to shine. We put our best foot forward because, you know, we wanted to make plays just like the next guy. So it wasn't hard at all, not at all.
And you had Tony and Daryl, they moved on. You decided to come back. What went into that decision to come back? Did you feel like you had unfinished business?
I did feel like I had unfinished business, and I felt like it was the best decision for me and my family. I felt like you know, my mom wanted me to graduate college, so I went back and I got my degree because, you know, can't nobody take that away from you. And like I said, I felt like it was my best decision coming back. It was unfortunate that I sustained an injury last year, but if I had to go back and do it again, I would. So I'm living with my decision to coming back this past year.
And you opened up the season with an impressive game, you know, a .128 on the ground. And then, you know, once that injury set in, like, what was it that you missed so much about, or not even that, not what did you miss, but how did you manage to process and work through knowing that, oh, man, I came back. I wanted to graduate, but I also wanted to, you know, build upon what I did last year. Here I am. I'm out. How did you press through that?
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely frustrating to have sustained an injury like that, and I still remember exactly what happened. I got tackled. I was coming out of a hole. Shoot, if that guy wouldn't have got my leg, I would have went in for 60. But, I mean, he clamped down on my foot, and I remember my helmet came off that exact play. I got up, and I was like, man, something's wrong with my foot. I'm walking off the field. Yeah, I didn't feel comfortable. I walked off the field, walked into the locker room. I thought it was just a mid-foot sprain. It turned out that Tuesday we went in, and they said that I tore my Frank ligament. It would possibly put me out for 6 months to a year. Mm. And I got a little frustrated with that. But, man, during this whole time, it allowed me to grow my faith. Grow as a leader and grow my knowledge of the game, for sure. Being able to see the field from a different perspective when I'm not on it and being able to share my knowledge of the game with, with those guys such as Antonio Gibson, Kenny Gainwell, Colin Watkins, guys like that. So, and I just missed the game, man, and I just missed competing with my boys, being out there. Because, I mean, when you have all those guys joined together for one purpose, and that's to win, but you also develop relationships and things like that. But winning is big. It's not fun to lose. So, and I wanted to get out there and compete with my guys. So that's why I decided to come back and finish out the season.
Well, that's admirable that you said that you wanted to take that as an opportunity to impact others, man. That's definitely a selfless act. So I appreciate that. As you were going through the whole process, have you gotten to talk to Daryl Henderson or Tony, and what's some of the things that they've told you? Or even how about D'Angelo Williams? Have you gotten to talk to these guys about what you were about to go through?
Yeah, I mean, they just told me to just enjoy the process and it's unfortunate that I couldn't visit any teams with this COVID going on. They said that's the best part. And then they talked to me about the combine and how brutal it is with waking up early and going to sleep really late. So those guys, I was able to lean on those guys with them having experienced the things that I'm experiencing now. So they've given me some type of insight on what I'm about to embark on.
How was the combine for you? Because looking at your 40 test, you ran pretty well, right? And we talked about things being slept on upon you, and watching you play, a lot of times, you know, you hit that open field and you got going, you know. Mm-hmm. So I have to ask you, as far as that whole foot is concerned, how did the medicals and everything, how did that come about for you as far as being able to, you know, process and work through that?
Yeah, well, I gritted through the medicals. I mean, they were tugging and pulling on my foot. I mean, it was hurting, but it was hurting when I was running as well. So, I mean, I just had to gut through that whole process. Cause I knew I was going to have to get the surgery, and I wasn't going to be able to do my combine. I mean, my pro day, in March. But I mean, I'm extremely happy that I did end up waiting, holding out on the surgery and just gutting it out in the combine and getting the surgery afterwards. I mean, it all worked out. So
where are you now in that process of recovery?
So I had the surgery March 10th. I'm 5 weeks in now. So I'm progressing into walking in a walking boot.
And okay.
It's going to take a 4 to 6 months recovery. So I'm looking to get back around that mid-July, August time.
That'll mess around and be the time when everybody gets back, you know, with what we're dealing with right now. Not that it's a joke, you know.
Right.
So it may coincide perfectly. Another thing, you mentioned being at the combine. How did your meetings with teams go? Were there any particular things they said they liked about your game?
They said that they really liked my contribution to special teams and mm-hmm. me being able to catch the ball out of the backfield and my one cut ability and finding a way to get in the end zone and being a short yardage back at times. So
yeah.
Those are a number of things that they said they liked about my game.
That one cut ability, how does that project you into a zone scheme? That's what this is, a Titans show, so I'm going to ask you some questions that are more Titan-centric, and they use a lot of zone schemes. So how does that project you, you know, that one-cut ability, get upfield and take what you got?
Yeah, I mean, you see it a lot with Derrick Henry, him being a bigger back, 6'3", 240, his one-cut ability, being able to stick his foot in the ground and fall forward for 3 or 4 yards. You know, you're going to have those dirty, gritty runs that are going to go for 2 yards, 3 yards, and soon they're going to pop for, you know, 20, 30, and hit the home run in the fourth quarter. So being able to be that one cut back and being able to see the line and the blocking scheme and things like that, I feel like that's helped me at the University of Memphis with, you know, being challenged by my head coach, being by Coach Norvell and Coach Silverfield. Them teaching me the blocking schemes up front and stuff like that.
And basically, as we look at this point right now, it's really soon, this time next week, I mean, you're going to know, like, what the deal is, where you're headed and everything that's set to happen. What's mm-hmm. next for you between now and then? I mean, what are you doing each day? Obviously, you can't do much physically, you know, from the waist down, but what's going through your process?
Oh, yeah, well, I'm rehabbing here in Houston with Dr. Tran. Recently just set up, like, a soul bike in my house, so my parents allowed me to put a soul bike in the house to ride on for cardio and just hanging out with family and just hanging out, and that's it. That's all I'm doing up until draft day.
Yeah. Hey, look, man, that's all you can do right now with the stoppage that we're all facing. So I appreciate that, man. Thanks for coming on, Patrick. I definitely want to keep in touch with you. Let's see how this process pans out. This Titans team, they need somebody to compliment Derrick Henry. And you bring all three aspects, pass pro, running the ball, and catching it. So you never know what could happen.
Never know.
Yes, sir. Well, all right, man. Take care, and let's touch base in the near future.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you having me on.
All right, for sure.
This is AJ Brown, and you're talking with TD.
Yes, yes. Normally that music right there is what you hear before the Titans cornerbacks come onto their defensive back group as a whole come onto the field at home games. Well, our next guest has a very good chance of being among that group this upcoming season. LSU corner Christian Straps Fulton. Christian, what's going on, man?
Nothing much, man. I'm chilling. What's good?
Ain't nothing, man. Like I said, you know, just chilling. I really like your game, you know. Whether it be press coverage, I like the way that you cover the ball downfield. The way there's a lot about you that I like, so I want to get into some different things. But first and foremost, I got to ask you, why is LSU DBU? Because, I mean, you know, some of the cats at Ohio State or Texas, they're going to say that those schools are. So you tell me why LSU is DBU.
Well, I feel like we DBU because if you look at the guys that we put out, I feel like you say everybody put out guys, but you don't have just a school that's just putting out the top guys, like guys that are literally making an impact wherever they go. Like, we got guys like Jamal, you got to argue him and Tyron are the best safeties in the game. Then you got Pat P and T. White.
Yeah.
They argue they're the best corners in the game. And I feel like, you know, we put them out there, you know, so you don't have another school that just has that argument to where they can argue our guys are the best in the league, and then they balled in college. So that's why I feel like we got that.
How did LSU, for you personally, how did that help you get prepared for this next step that you're about to take?
I got to give credit to Coach Raymond, you know, credit to Coach Raymond and Coach Dwayne. They helped me with my game, you know, each year. You know, if it's something that I want to work on, they allowed me to work on that and gave me the tools, you know, to fix whatever I needed to fix, whether that was in a slot or that was outside that corner. Also, you know, we got guys that come back, you know, in the summer, you know, that work with us, like Pat P and Tre'Davious and Jalen Mills. You know, those guys come back, you know, and work with us, and we get to fix our tools, you know, make them better. So I feel like that's what's helped me, you know.
Yeah, Jay Mills, that's my man. When I used to cover the Eagles, when he first came into the league, we had conversations every week, man. He's a good dude, man, so I'm glad you mentioned him. I want to ask you about press because I'm not sure if you know it or not, but you had the second most snaps in press coverage last year. 307 snaps in press coverage. Mm-hmm. How were you able to kind of hone that skills to be able to be trusted that many times, you know, in press? And I know that's something at LSU, that's what you guys do, but what made mm-hmm. you a guy that could be trusted to do that, especially on the field side?
Just putting the work, you know, I feel like, you know, we get a lot of work in that practice, you know, whether that's spring or fall camp, you know, and our receivers, you know, give us a great look, you know, to go against any type of receiver that we're going to see in the fall. It's something you got to get in shape for, you know, it's not something that just done easily. You know, it's a lot of technique that go into press coverage, like, you know, so, and Coach Raymond, like I said, he did a great job. You know, I got multiple tools that I can use. And, sometimes he give us a little leeway to, you know, play off. But, that's just what we do at LSU, you know, and no getting out of that.
And you said that you felt you were technically the best cornerback in this class. And when you look at your press, I've seen you put hands on receivers, but then I've also seen you at times, you know, just use your feet and just mirror them coming off the line. Well, what is there one way that you're more comfortable with press, or you just kind of do it according to who you're covering?
Just according to who I'm covering. We want to get hands on when we plan. We want to get hands on, but like I said, it just depends on what technique and who I'm going against. So if it's like a bigger receiver, we talked, you know, about it, you know, and said that we didn't want to, you know, get into that kind of matchup since they were, you know, bigger than us, because they would try to, like, pull you through, you know, try to work to get into your blind spot. You know, they won't be physical. They want you to be physical so they can use their physicality against you. So it's definitely certain ways that we use. I like to get hands, which we use a patient step, is what we call it. So it's just good to have different tools in your toolbox, you know, for press.
And the thing, when you are in press cover, especially like on the field side, I notice a lot of times like the receivers are lined up all the way down there on the sideline. So you obviously know the slant is coming. But that being said, you do a really good job of just always staying in phase, and you have an uncanny ability to get your hand in there, avoid the pass interference, but still get your hand in there and break it up. What type of techniques go into that? How can you kind of take me through like what's happening, like what you're processing as the receiver's coming off the line in that situation?
First, I just, you know, just see the formation, you know, you know, and see what they're giving me, whether it's trips, you know, twins, or something like that, you know, that can give me some kind of, you know, key to what route combination is coming, you know. So, if I know if I'm to the field, you know, and number one is off the ball, then I know for a fact, you know, he's going to run something short, something quick. It's just little things, you know, that help me determine a route combination. You know, never want to guess anything. You know, our coach tell us play the slant, but body the fade. I don't want to really get too much into it, but, you know, just making sure, you know, that we play anything short, but where our body presence is there for the go route.
Yeah, that's interesting. And another thing you do really well on a variety of in-breaking routes, you do a good job, like I said, of driving and getting in position to break that up. What would you say is your strongest trait as a cornerback? Like, what separates you from the other guys that are mentioned in this class?
I feel like, you know, I can play all positions. You know, I can play off. I can play press, which, yeah, obviously everybody knows I can do that. I can play in a slot. Didn't get much, you know, to play in a slot, you know, just because I had to go outside for the most part. But I feel like that IQ is extremely high. So, you know, I get to call out things, you know, that's coming before they even happen. That was a few times on film, you know, where that happened for me. And then, I can tackle. I feel like I can tackle really well. I know a lot of people probably knock me for that. But, you know, that's what I feel like separates me. You know, then I go against the best receivers, you know, week in, week out in the best conference. I get the job done, you know. So that's why I feel like separating
you. Back when you were number 22, it was you and Greedy Williams. You guys, you know, were the corners. And then this past year is you and Stingley. What was that competition like? Did you guys, like, kind of have a personal competition where you would just try to not one up, but just, you know, like compete with each other and see who could make the most plays?
Yeah, most definitely. You know, we compete in practice and, you know, in the game. You know, so we just, you know, try to find things, you know, that's going to make us compete at a high level. You know, whether that's, you know, who's going to get the most interceptions in practice or in game. And also, you know, just going against, taking turns, you know, going with Jamal, you know, see, not even just Jamal, you know, Jamal, Justin, Terrence, Rachel, all those guys, you know, we want to see who's going to win the most reps. You know, we have a competition every day, you know, who's going to win all these reps in one-on-one and stuff like that. So it's always fun, you know, it's fun and you know, it's always something that's going to get us better because we know what we got in mind for the day, you know, what we want to get done.
And obviously you guys were competing with the offensive guy, you know, the receivers and Jefferson and Chase and, you know, a bunch of guys that you were going against. But outside of them, who would you say are the best receivers that you had to face throughout your time there at LSU?
So you mean like other teams? Other teams?
Right. Who did you have to face outside of the guys that you faced every day in practice?
Yeah. I'll go with Jefferson from Florida. He's pretty good. You know, you got the Bama receivers. Who else I say? T. Higgins was solid. He was solid. I mean, it's a lot of guys, you know, that really are like under the radar, you know, that that's pretty good in this conference.
What was it that you liked so much about Jefferson? Because he's the first guy you mentioned.
I just feel like, you know, he's a smart receiver, great route, like his route running ability, you know, is underrated. Great hands, you know, he knows how to adjust to the ball. Just those things, you know, that separate. I feel like he try to like assess the DB, you know, and see how he's playing him, you know, to that determines how he's going to run his route. So I mean, I feel like that's what really stood out to me.
And then you mentioned also the Alabama receivers, and in my opinion, that game I think was one of your calling cards. You had an outstanding game there. One of the plays, you came up and you pressed Ruggs, and you undercut the slant and knocked it down. I actually just posted that on Twitter, by the way. Going into that game, was there just something that you felt made you rise up to that occasion, or what really went into that?
I mean, it's like that every week.
Yeah.
Literally, but I mean, for that game, you know, it's high stakes, you know. And, you know, we knew what they were going to come out and do. You know, they've been doing it all year. Getting the ball out quick to the receivers and just letting them do their thing in space. So, you know, for us, you know, we just took the approach as, like, we're not going to let that happen. You know, we're going to play up close. We're going to play up tight. And they make them make the great catch. We've seen a lot of guys been pressing throughout the year. So it was just on me, you know, just to try to do a little switch up, like maybe a quick jam, you know, for sure, at least get hands on, just throw some timing off their routes with the quarterback.
And you mentioned some of the things that you felt, you know, you wanted to really show that you could do, and you said that there were things that you felt like you were getting knocked for. How did that combine process go? Because I'm sure that's an area where you face both sides, criticism and praise. So how did that process go for you in meeting with them?
It went great. You know, it's a lot of things, you know, they like. And then you found out the things, they know that they have some questions on. And I just look at it as good feedback, you know, for me to, you know, take and know what I got to work on. It wasn't too many things, you know, that they had questions about. But like I said, that's the whole part of the combine, you know, just getting to meet the coaches and see what they like about you, see what they think you should work on, and, you know, just them getting to know you as a person. So I feel like it was a real, you know, special week for me.
I'm sure that was a good opportunity to look them in the eyes and just, you know, let them know that you were on the right path, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like I said, that was my first time, you know, getting to meet with the coaches since I've been to the Senior Bowl. So it definitely was something good, you know, just to clear up any story that they had, you know, just explain how I want to describe how my senior year went, you know.
Nice. And then I know you worked with Mo Wells. How competitive was that? Cam Dantzler was down there with you working too, right?
Yeah.
How was that, just getting to compete, and how did that help you, you know, just kind of continue to raise your game?
Yeah, it was fun for sure. Me and Cam been close, you know, since high school. So it was always, you know, fun to compete with him. You know, we both feel like, you know, we the best corners coming out, you know, and you want that type of those type of people around, you know, because they're gonna push you. And you know, just doing drills, you know, just critiquing each other, you know, giving each other things, you know, that we both see in each other, you know, that we like, and you know, things that they can possibly work on, just you know, help each other gain. And not even just football drills, you know, just in the 40, you know, we always talking like who's gonna run the fastest 40 and stuff like that. You know, so it was a fun time for sure, you know, hanging out with those guys, you know, competing and working with them, you know, during the process.
Yeah, and it was good to see Cam be able to get a faster time on film. You know, unfortunately, the pro days didn't give him a chance to do that. So as far as you're concerned, did you – well, I know you did. You had a teleconference or a video conference with the Titans. How did that meeting go?
Yeah.
Were there different things that stood out to you about whoever it was that you were speaking to?
Yeah, it was definitely a good meeting. You know, you know, like I said, just talking football, you know, wanting to see where I was comfortable at and what I was comfortable doing. And just letting you know, like, if we were to go with you, you know, we're going to expect you, you know, to come in and play early and, you know, make an impact. That was big on them, you know. I mean, they like my game, you know. They're not really tripping off, you know, the creating turnover part, you know. They just need guys, you know, to come in and cover, you know, get the job done. You know, all those things come with tight windows and all that stuff. Being able to come up and tackle on the run. So it was all those things, you know, were mentioned in the meeting. And you know, I feel like they had a lot of real interest.
And last thing I want to ask you is just covering slot receivers, because you mentioned that's something that you didn't get to do as much, but it's something that you're capable of. Can you compare and contrast the difference between having a bump inside? Because this Titans team, especially if Logan Ryan isn't brought back, they're going to need a guy that could move inside and play nickel. So obviously, that's something I'm sure that they would have talked to you about. So compare and contrast is the assignment of covering a nickel, you know, being a nickel guy covering a slot as opposed to lining up on the outside.
Well, that's just the thing, you know, being inside, you know, you got to be able to account for the run also. You know, you got to be able to play the run while also playing, you know, your man, your pass. So, you know, you at about, you know, about 6 yards reading that run, you know, you just got to be able to digest it, you know, real fast. And, I mean, like you said, sometimes you might press in a slot. Sometimes you might play most likely going to be off. So it's all about being patient. You know, you got to play the run. You got to go to quick and read. Then you got to think anything deep. So it's a lot that goes on for the nickel, you know. But like you said, Logan Ryan, he a dog for sure. And he know what he's doing there.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, Christian, I appreciate you coming on. Man, it's at this time next week, you're going to know where you're going to be for a while. So I know that's got to be stressful trying to figure that out. And just focus on what you can control, man. And I wish you the best, man.
Yeah, appreciate that, man, for sure. Thank you for having me.
All right, for sure. Take care. Let me clear my throat. All right, as we continue along talking with TD, that's DJ Kool, 1997. Our next guest, he was a young whippersnapper when that song came out, but nevertheless, he's from D.C. DJ Kool is from D.C., so we had to do it. Alabama, edge defender, Terrell Lewis. Terrell, what's going on, man?
Nothing much, man. Appreciate you having me.
Yeah, for sure. Man, I wanted to put that on, see if I could bring you back to the days when you were a kid and your parents, you know, were in the front room playing cards.
Yeah, that's definitely a classic.
Yeah, no doubt. So I want to kind of get into some of the things that you bring to the table, because you're a very interesting prospect, because I feel like if it weren't for some of the injuries and things that you had, I think you would be a slam dunk top 15 to 20 pick. But here we are. You're a guy that, you know, traits is something that really stand out. So I want you to kind of tell me about how you're able to use your length and physicality as an edge defender.
I think just me, what I display on film and even throughout my whole career at Alabama, I think I've shown that, you know, obviously length is definitely a strength of mine, being able to use it along with my speed to, you know, factor in that length to be able to using not only playing against the pass and getting around guys and using that long arm move to get to a quarterback and get around off of the tackle, but also just in the run game too, as well as being able to just strike blockers before they strike me and be able to shed them and keep my distance away from other guys who don't have that same length as me. And at the same time, being able to know when to use my length and also when to, get inside a guy and be physical, I think that plays a big part of my game. So,
yeah, and I got to see that firsthand watching you at the Senior Bowl, and I want to get into that a little bit later. But getting back to that stab that you use, that one-hand stab, would you say that's your primary pass rushing move?
I would say that's a move that I use as my foundation, as my pass rush, to kind of see how a guy sets on me, see how he's reacting towards me, kind of seeing how he reacts towards my get off, my speed off the edge, and using that as an anchor to whether I'm trying to go inside or outside at times. But I wouldn't say that's my primary move. Okay. I think it's my foundation, basically, because at the same time, too, you may strike a guy with that one-arm stab and find out as the play progresses that it's probably a draw, so I could counter back and work things off of it. Off a comfortability standpoint, and then also as a football mindset, just knowing the game, being able to react a little quicker when you throw that long arm out there.
And you mentioned your get-off, and I'm sure that helps you set up the spin move. And anybody who watched the Tennessee game, they know what it is. So how did you develop that spin move? Because I feel like that's something that's unique to a guy as long as you. Normally, when you mention a spin move, you're thinking of a Von Miller, a Dwight Freeney, those type of guys.
I've always kind of had that in my repertoire. I never really displayed it on film in games-wise, but in practice that was always something that I would try to work on, something like that, especially learning how guys would try to basically watch me by the quarterback and lean on me, knowing that I would get off the ball so fast that they would just try to use that to my disadvantage and try to get me to just go by the quarterback. So I kind of started adding it more and more to my game, knowing that, okay, as soon as they lean on me, I'm a counter back inside and use their body against them. So it's just something that kind of, as I kept repping it, I realized that I was not only comfortable with doing it, because I think it was so smooth for me to transition into basically getting into working a spin move, because my basketball experience in life, I think that kind of helped me just as far as pass rushing, get comfortable doing all of that stuff. Because I look at a lot of things in basketball, I compare it to pass rushing. So that kind of always helped me, process moves a little quicker and be able to use them on the field, because I just imagine it as being basically basketball without a basketball. So that definitely helped me a lot as far as, because I know a lot of people don't expect to see a longer, taller guy be able to do things like that and bend that low and kind of spin in that type of way.
And you kind of led me right into something else I wanted to talk about at some point, and that's the basketball. Back in high school at St. John's, obviously, that was your focus. I read that they considered you a Dennis Rodman-like player. So I could understand the spin move and using your wiry frame to get position. That being said, what was it about basketball that you liked so much before your trainer, Sean Washington, got to you and had you do the switch?
Well, I think just growing up in my area, basketball is everything. I think even people that's kind of been on notice in the last few days, where there's been a lot of talks in our area about a lot of basketball-type conversations. But just growing up in my area, basketball was kind of instilled in us. So I always loved playing basketball, and then I always loved playing football too. But at the same time, being able to play both in the area that I grew up in, basketball definitely, was a more of a cultural sport. So everybody was involved in basketball. Everybody built relationships and knew each other from basketball. So it was always something that I was always into, competitive with. And nonetheless, it helped me on the field as well, just being able to transition what I learned from basketball and the footwork and things like that, as far as, lateral movement and things like that, it helped me transition to not only playing football, whether it be pass rushing, but even just playing anywhere along the front seven, whether it's inside linebacker, things like that, shuffling and being able to play in space. it helped me do all those things really, really well and be able to transition to, you know what I'm saying, playing multiple positions. It made it the transition much easier. So,
and you eventually switched to focusing on football. I mentioned Sean Washington. What was it about your conversations, and obviously it was your decision, but what was it that made you decide to, I'm going to go this route and I'm going to ride this route all the way to the NFL?
Well, it was definitely a lot of people in my circle that, because people could tell that, you know what I'm saying, I may be better off playing football, but at the same time, you see, obviously it was competitive to be able to make it out of my area, whether it be football or basketball, but I feel like me just kind of sitting there and thinking about it, I knew where I was at on the football field, how, you know, saying where I stood, and then I also knew where I stood on the basketball level playing varsity, things like that as a sophomore. So I kind of looked at my options, and I was just like, I know how competitive it is, not only to make it out of my city playing the game of basketball, but also just in the country as far as, you know what I'm saying, I always look at it like, if my end goal is to be a professional athlete, whether it's football or basketball, where are my options best? And basketball at the time, I'm playing basically a 6'4", 6'5", four power forward. That's not going to transition to the NBA really well. So just looking back at it, I was just like, okay, basketball, I had a couple offers, but it was like mid-major schools, like maybe Towson, Toledo, and places like that. But when you look and you see all the football coaches coming in and they see your size and your frame and just know that, okay, what would this kid look like if he gets bigger, if he grows into his body and things like that, I figured once I do that, I know football had always been kind of, not to say easy, but it just came natural to me as far as that football was so natural to me as far as being able to play in a jet. Like, football just was a natural thing for me to do. I think it was a lot of God-given stuff that I just basically, I knew I could play this sport, whatever position I play. But at the same time, only the work I had to put in football mainly came in the weight room and working out and things like that. Whereas basketball, I think I loved playing basketball because it was so tedious to me as far as the work I had to put in to make sure, you know what I'm saying, I could stay on top of my dribbling, my shooting and stuff like that. So they both instilled a work ethic in me, but I think football, naturally, it was just easier for me to play. And growing into my body, it just became even more like, okay, obviously this is the sport that, you know what I'm saying, you can take it way farther than if you was to just focus mainly on basketball.
You grew into your body in high school. I believe it was 25 pounds you put on, and then you continued to do that at Alabama to a point where, you know, when you were playing behind guys like Jonathan Allen, Tim Williams even, I saw where he said you were freakishly good, and he said you were the future of outside linebacker at Alabama. So obviously you were on course and everything was looking good, and then the injuries happened, the knee and then the elbow. When those happened, what did you miss most about football, and what made you able to, because a lot of people, two season ending injuries, back-to-back years, they're just going to say, you know what, I'm done, man. But you didn't do that, and you came back, and here you are now. So why was that? What pushed you through, and what did you miss the most?
I would say definitely what I miss the most is just being out there in general. Once you kind of have to sit back and you can't be involved with all the team activities, whether it be practice, you know what I'm saying, workouts and all that stuff, when you can't be fully involved with it, everybody, you sit back and you feel like you're missing out on a lot. You're missing out on the memories that you build with your teammates and things like that. You feel like you're outside the loop a little bit. And I think my teammates did a good job of, you know what I'm saying, obviously trying to make me feel like I was in the loop more as much as possible and keeping me involved. But at the same time, you still notice the difference. So I definitely think that was what I had missed the most during those times. But at the same time, I just felt like, you know what I'm saying, obviously I know a lot of people that kind of, they looked at me and going through the things that I went through in college with the injuries, they looked at me and they looked at me as inspiration to, you know what I'm saying, cherish the game and stuff like that. So that definitely pushed me to make sure that I get back on top of my P's and Q's as far as getting back to where I want to be and kind of still striving for, you know what I'm saying, basically my end goal that I knew I wasn't going to change regardless of what I went through going into college. I knew going to Alabama was going to be tough regardless if I was to get injured or not, I knew choosing Alabama, it was going to be a tough process for me to get to where I wanted to go, but I knew I would learn a lot. But me coming from where I came from in the D.C., Maryland area, I knew that there were so many people that, you know what I'm saying, were looking at me as a guy that, first of all, when I first made the decision to go to Alabama, people were looking at me like, okay, let's see how this goes. Mm-hmm. So it was almost in my head like, I have no option but to do this, but to persevere through it, not only for me, but the people that I represent back home, my family, my upbringing and stuff like that, that, you know what I'm saying, I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to show anybody that, you know what I'm saying, when things aren't going your way, okay, let me take another option. Like, nah, I believe when you set a goal towards something, you set that goal knowing that, you know what I'm saying, no matter what obstacles may come in your way, you're going to still reach that end goal. You just got to find a new, you know what I'm saying, God just directs you a new path. So I always kept that mindset. And then just me knowing how much I love the game of football, how much peace it brings me in, and everything that got me up until this point, I always thought to myself, like, why would I come this far to stop now? Like, it's no point. There's no way. You know what I'm saying? Because you go through those type of injuries, especially the second one, you sit back and you think, okay, maybe is God trying to tell me something? Like, is he trying to tell me maybe this, you know what I'm saying, I should put the ball down and, you know what I'm saying, put my efforts towards something else. But then at the same time, I looked at it like, it's no way. It's this game been in my life too long. And then at the same time, it's definitely been too much. I've been through too much for me to stop playing this game now because of two injuries that, you know what I'm saying, it's my first time really going through injuries that kind of people consider serious.
No doubt. And then you look at what you were able to do at the Senior Bowl. As I said, I was impressed. I'm not going to say the offensive lineman his name, but I remember in one of the one-on-one reps, you put two hands on him and you snatched him and you threw him and he rolled a little bit. So obviously one-on-ones was an area that you looked to dominate. What was it about one-on-ones that made you say, you know what, this is an area where I have to showcase what I could do?
It was definitely just me going out there with the mindset that I knew how people already had viewed me from this past season, from my injury history and things like that, and just kind of giving them a glimpse of, you know, saying who I will be at the next level in a one-on-one setting in an NFL game where it's a lot of win your matchup type battles. So I went in with the mindset, no matter what, whether it's team period, whether it's one-on-ones, whether it's just drill work, make somebody feel your presence. And I think I know exactly what time you talked about. I know the coaches was even kind of telling me when we did drills like that, like, you know what I'm saying, keep guys off the ground. But I kind of went out there with a mindset like, man, I don't know. I went out there with the mindset of, you know what I'm saying, kind of with a killer mentality just because I know it's a lot of people doubting me as far as, you know what I'm saying, who I may be at the next level based off what they think they saw and things of that nature. So I kind of just went out with the mindset that, you know what I'm saying, I got something to prove and I'm going to continue having that mindset going up into the next level. So
I absolutely love that. And then at the combine, how did the medical checks go? Was that extensive? What was some of the feedback that you got? I would imagine you were in good shape there, right?
Yeah, I was definitely in good shape. And I went into, like, medicals, which everybody from after going through my leg injury, going into my senior year, it's like everybody kept talking about, you know what I'm saying, combine is going to be so, you know what I'm saying, extensive for me personally just because of, you know what I'm saying, my injury history and what they know about me. But when I went to the combine, it felt like I was, you know what I'm saying, flying through everything with flying colors and went really smooth compared to other guys where I'm like, I wasn't even going through a lot of things as extensive and as, you know what I'm saying. To me, it felt like it was a little overrated, I feel like people kind of, they talked it up so much to mm-hmm. me mm-hmm. that, you know what I'm saying? I was even nervous about it. Like, okay, this part, like I told my dog Anthony, I said, man, this is going to be my most difficult day, if anything, like medical day. just seeing how this goes and the anticipation going into it, it seemed like everybody kind of talked it up to me as, you know what I'm saying, this is going to be a day where you got to, you know what I'm saying, be on your P's and Q's. Like I could do anything about it anyways. But going into it, well, coming out of it, actually, you know what I'm saying, teams told me, you know what I'm saying, I'm perfectly fine with them. A lot of teams, you know what I'm saying, reported back to my agent, like, hey, you know what I'm saying, T's really good. We, you know what I'm saying, he passes us physically. We, you know what I'm saying, we're not worried about him. And, you know, it's just the timing of my injuries at the time just came at bad times where it would make people feel as though, you know what I'm saying, I'm injury prone. But really, the main injuries that I had were just freak accident injuries where you have one, what happened the first game of my sophomore season, where I had a torn UCL, where you never really hear about an injury like that in the game of football. Even the doctor kind of said, like, that's usually a baseball injury that you see pitchers get and things like that. But that just happened off of a freak accident where I was avoiding somebody and my arm got caught up grabbing the quarterback. So that was one. And then me getting injured a month before camp, tearing my ACL, getting some extra work in, that's obviously the worst timing you can get an injury too. So those two injuries were the main ones that people were concerned about. But other than that, you know what I'm saying, I basically had a clean slate of health. And, you know what I'm saying, obviously, just knowing, I think two people kind of factored in, okay, he's missed a lot of time. And then also, you know what I'm saying, he plays at a place like Alabama where they already have that stigma of trying to label us as people that get ran into the ground. I think it definitely played a huge factor as far as, you know what I'm saying, how people depicted me going into the medicals. So, but coming out of it, it came out really well, did really well with the medicals. And basically every team I've talked to basically told me, I did perfectly fine with them.
That's perfect. That's perfect. And as we mentioned, look at you in that 20 to 30 range. That being said, this is a Titans show. So, have you spoken to the Titans? They pick at 29.
Yeah, I've spoken to the Titans. I've talked to Coach Vrabel. I've talked to the manager, J-Rob. And then obviously me having former teammates and guys that I'm close with up there. I've talked to Rashawn Evans frequently. So
yeah,
talking to Rashawn, he definitely, you know what I'm saying, he'll keep me in the loop as far as what he knows. But at the same time, he just tells me, like, you know what I'm saying, I don't see, you know what I'm saying, based off what he, I guess, what him and Coach Vrabel and all those guys talk about, he's like, man, if they go edge, I don't see them picking anybody but you.
Well, that's what's up, man. And I will tell you, if you come here, you will definitely get a lot of hands-on work personally with Coach Vrabel. So, Terrell, I appreciate you coming on. Definitely like the conversation. I wish you the best as you work through this process.
Well, I appreciate you, big dog. Thank you.
Sure, man. All right, take care. So that was Terrell Lewis. That's going to wrap up our draft prospect series, talking with TD. I appreciate each of you for tuning in week to week, listening to this show. I hope you guys enjoyed the coverage. Hey, you know what's about to happen. We're going to see who it's going to be. I don't know, but I'm excited about it. Until then, thanks for tuning in. God bless and good night.